Hello.
Dr. Mackwell? Henry Yamada?
Yamada, an intern at County Medical, sounded nervous.
One of your patients, Janet Shane, was just brought in by her husband. She's in labor. The fact is, they were delayed by the storm, so she was well along when they got here.
Mackwell drank scotch while he listened. Then, pleased to hear that his voice was not slurred, he asked, "She's still in first stage?"
"Yes, but her labor pains are intense and unusually protracted for this point in the process. There's blood-tinged vaginal mucus."
"That's to be expected." Impatiently, Yamada said,
No, this isn't ordinary show."
Show, or blood-tainted vaginal mucus, was a reliable sign that labor was impending. However, Yamada had said Mrs. Shane was already well into labor. Mackwell had blundered by suggesting that the intern was reporting ordinary show. Yamada said,
"Not enough blood for hemorrhage, but something's wrong. Uterine inertia, obstruction of the pelvis, systemic disease."
"I'd have noticed any physiological irregularity that would have made pregnancy dangerous," Mackwell said sharply. But he knew that he might not have noticed if he had been drunk. "Dr. Carlson's on duty tonight. If something goes wrong before I get there, he..."
"We've just had 4 accident victims brought in. 2 in bad shape. Carlson's hands are full. We need you, Dr. Mackwell."
"I'm on my way. 20 minutes. Mackwell hung up, finished his scotch, and took a peppermint lozenge from his pocket. Since becoming a heavy drinker, he always carried mints. As he unwrapped the lozenge and popped it into his mouth, he left the study and went along the hall to the foyer closet. He was drunk, and he was going to deliver a baby, and maybe he was going to botch it, which would mean the end of his career, the destruction of his reputation, but he did not care. In fact, he anticipated that catastrophe with a perverse longing. He was pulling on his overcoat when a peal of thunder rocked the night. The house reverberated with it. He frowned and looked at the window beside the front door. Fine, dry snow swirled against the glass, briefly hung suspended as the wind held its breath, then swirled again. On a couple of other occasions over the years, he had heard thunder in a snowstorm, though always at the beginning, always soft and far away, nothing as menacing as this. Lightning flashed, then again. Falling snow flickered queerly in the inconstant light, and the window was briefly transformed into a mirror in which Mackwell saw his own haunted face. The subsequent crash of thunder was the loudest yet. He opened the door and peered curiously at the turbulent night. The hard-driving wind hurled snow under the porch roof, drifting it against the front wall of the house. A fresh 2 or 3 inch white mantle covered the lawn, and the windward boughs of the pine trees were flocked as well. Lightning flared bright enough to sting Mackwell's eyes. The thunderclap was so tremendous that it seemed to come not only from the sky but from the ground, too, as if heaven and earth were splitting open, announcing Armageddon. 2 extended, overlapping, brilliant bolts seared the darkness. On all sides, eerie silhouettes leaped, writhed, throbbed. The shadows of porch railings, balusters, trees, barren shrubs, and street lamps were so weirdly distorted by every flash that Markwell's familiar world acquired the characteristics of a surrealistic painting. The unearthly light illuminated common objects in such a way as to give them mutant forms, altering them disturbingly. Disoriented by the blazing sky, thunder, wind, and billowing white curtains of the storm, Mackwell abruptly felt drunk for the first time that night. He wondered how much of the bizarre electrical phenomenon was real and how much was alcohol-induced hallucination. He edged cautiously across the slippery porch to the head of the steps that led to the snow-covered front walk, and he leaned against a porch post, craning his head out to look up at the light-shattered heavens. A chain of thunderbolts made the front lawn and street appear to jump repeatedly, as if that scene were a length of motion picture film stuttering in a jammed projector. All color was burnt out of the night, leaving only the dazzling white of the lightning, the starless sky, the sparkling white of snow, and ink-black shuddering shadows. As he stared in awe and fear at the freakish celestial display, another jagged crack opened in the heavens. The earth-seeking tip of the hot bolt touched an iron street lamp only 60 feet away, and Mackwell cried out in fear. At the moment of contact, the night became incandescent, and the glass panes in the lamp exploded. The clap of thunder vibrated in Markwell's teeth. The porch floor rattled. The cold air instantly reeked of ozone and hot iron. Silence, stillness, and darkness returned.